Europe's oldest nuclear power plant shutting down is a story with symbolic weight that extends well beyond the immediate electricity supply implications. We don't have the specific plant name confirmed in our source material, but European nuclear policy has been a live debate for years. Germany completed its nuclear exit in 2023. Several other countries are reconsidering plant life extensions, and the EU is navigating whether nuclear energy qualifies for green taxonomy classification. A plant shutdown during a heat wave is the worst possible timing from a grid management standpoint, because heat waves simultaneously reduce the cooling water availability that nuclear plants require for safe operation and dramatically increase electricity demand from air conditioning.
The heat wave moving east across Europe is the environmental backdrop for multiple stories this week. The Fannie Freddie risk story, the wildfires in Utah, the European energy pressure, these are all downstream of the same fundamental atmospheric dynamics. Utah's Cherry Fire growing to 20,000 acres, with zero containment and forcing re-evacuations from Eureka, people who literally just returned home on Thursday and had to flee again, is the human dimension of what the data on fire weather and drought conditions has been predicting for years.
The Hormuz aluminum story connects here too. Stranded aluminum, aluminum that was sitting in storage awaiting transit, moving through the Strait of Hormuz, even during the military exchange, reflects both the commodity market's calculated risk assessment and the global aluminum supply chain's dependence on Gulf transit routes. Aluminum production is one of the most energy-intensive industrial processes that exists. Smelting requires roughly 14 kilowatt hours per kilogram of aluminum produced, which means aluminum supply and energy costs are structurally linked. A prolonged Hormuz disruption that raises energy costs globally would feed back into aluminum production economics in ways that affect everything from aerospace manufacturing to consumer packaging.
The Stripe co-founder's comment about double majors thriving in the AI era is, at first glance, a human interest story about education. But Patrick Collison, or whichever Stripe co-founder said this, is actually making a structural point about where economic value accumulates in an AI-saturated economy. Pure technical skill in a single domain becomes commoditized faster when AI can assist with execution. The combination of technical competency with domain expertise in biology, law, finance, history, or any other field creates the kind of context-rich judgment that AI currently struggles to replicate. It's a hopeful message, and it has real implications for how universities structure curricula over the next decade.
Ford's decision to rehire 350 veteran engineers after its AI quality tools fell short is the most concrete data point we've seen about the limits of AI in complex manufacturing environments. Ford, a company that has been investing aggressively in AI and automation, essentially ran a controlled experiment. They replaced experienced engineers with AI quality management tools, monitored the outcomes, found the outcomes insufficient, and reversed course. This isn't an anti-AI story. It's a story about where the human-AI collaboration boundary actually sits in practice versus where ambitious projections suggested it would sit. Quality control in automotive manufacturing involves tacit knowledge about materials behavior, assembly variation, and failure mode recognition that is genuinely hard to encode in training data. The engineers know things that the models don't, and Ford's quality metrics apparently made that clear.